His church. He operates this situation. Amen? Amen. Not me. And I thank God I've been reminded to stay in my lane. Hallelujah. And let the gentleman do his thing in his lane. Amen? Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Woo-wee. We're going to begin a new series today. We pretty much have finished that you don't have to sin. And we went over that very good in Romans 6. We've been freed from it, united with him in baptism, crucified with him, buried with him, and rose with him to walk in newness of life. Amen. The gear belt has been slipped off and we've been made free from sin. Amen. Amen. So we don't have to sin. Glory be to God Almighty. Whoa-wee. So we're going to begin a new series today. And it's going to have a title and a subtitle. The title is Developing a Lifestyle of Getting the Word. Almost another, this is the third time in our 20-year history that we've taught on this subject. We just kind of renamed it a little bit right here. But Developing a Lifestyle of Getting the Word. Subtitle, Cultivating an Intense Desire for the Word. Okay? Let's take our time. Developing a Lifestyle of Getting the Word. Subtitle, Cultivating an Intense Desire for the Word. That's a problem here at Word of Life, and not only that, throughout the body of Christ. We don't have a desire for the Word of God. Not like we should. Let alone having an intense desire. Real talk, I can count on one hand the amount of folks at Word of Life who have a lifestyle of getting the Word. On one hand. And not all those fingers would be used. A lifestyle of getting the Word. An intense, let's just begin with a desire, let alone an intense desire. We need all of that. I want to go over a couple of scriptures first before we get into this. I think you all understand that I love you all with great intensity. And that's why I groan so deeply when things are as they should be amongst God's people, because I love so intensely, with great intensity. I quote unquote live and die you, in a sense. I rejoice when you rejoice, and I weep when you weep. That's the way God has made real pastors. I'm not the only one. If you are a real pastor, we all have this great intensity for the people of God. As we should. There's nothing else in the world that I would rather do than be a pastor. I don't have a dream job, I have a beyond the dream job. And even though I am met with disappointment, disappointments that you have no idea of, it doesn't faze me one bit about, there's never been one iota of a thought that I wish I wasn't a pastor because of the disappointments. I thank God that he's chosen me for this great mercy. Apostle Paul calls it a mercy look at, having said that, look at Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 28. Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 28. And I guess I'm prefacing those remarks with that by saying, yeah, I'm going to fuss a little bit, but no, it's because I deeply love you and care for you deeply. Acts 28, verse 20. I'm sorry. Help me. What did I say? 20:28. Thank you. Thank you. No. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Make sure everybody has that. And it reads, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. This is a command to the pastors to pay careful attention, not just attention, but careful attention. To myself first, because if I'm living foul and not doing right, then I'm not worth anything to you. So I must first pay careful attention to myself. That means my thoughts, my words, and my actions on a daily. And then, after having done that, notice the order, then to all the flock. I mean, every last one that God has sent here to Word of Life, I must pay careful attention to. In which the Holy Spirit has made me a episkopos, is the Greek word, bishop. That's the word for bishop, which is an overseer, one that watches over the flock by watching out for the flock. That's what I, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. That's what I do. I try to do with great intensity. I care for you, I love you, and I'm here to protect you. That's how I care for you. Pay careful attention to yourselves and the flock, which the Holy Spirit, not something I just thought of because in the 80s I just jumped into the pulpit. Chapter 20. Verse 28.
Oh, you.
No,
I was just agreeing.
Okay, all right, man. In the 80s, I just went. In the 2000s, I was sent. The Holy Spirit has made me an overseer. I wonder if you think about that. Like when I'm giving you the word that maybe you don't agree with, are you still thinking that, well, the Holy Spirit has made him the overseer? Or you're like, no, that's just Greg talking. And at times, real talk, you are morphing to the Greg thing, not the God thing. You come out of God and look at Greg. Because that word that I'm giving, you're not agreeing with. But I'm giving word. Got to consider that. Stay away from opinions. That doesn't transform. It doesn't heal. It doesn't touch. It's the word that gets in and exposes the inner workings of the heart and the intentions of the heart. Amen. Not Greg's opinion, but the word of God. It's the Holy Spirit that has put me here. See, I've done both sides. I've been in of my own strength where the Holy Spirit didn't. And then I've been in it when he has. This is not an opinion. This is Dr. Luke under the influence of the Holy Spirit letting the church of God know that it is the Holy Spirit who makes overseers and bishops to watch out for God's people. Not to walk around with a title or bishop edition car. I literally saw that. Whatever the car was at, bishop edition. I've seen pastors wear pins showing. Do you realize what you are stepping into? Are you paying attention to yourself when you do that and to the flock? Are you paying careful attention? Or are you just glad for the status while the flock is in shambles? And he says it again, reading on in verse 28, to care for the church, says it again, of God. Whose church? Of God. You're not my flock. You're not my church. I purposely stay away from those terms. This is the church of God. You're the flock of God. You're the people of God. Well, how do you know? Look at the last part of the verse, right on time. Which he obtained with his own blood. Own blood, even just in case you didn't know whose blood it was. It says he obtained, could have said, which he obtained with his blood, but he put an own in there. You belong to God. I understand that. So therefore, I am going to pay careful attention to you because you're God's precious possession. I love you deeply, deeply. I thank God for insight to as to who you really are. People of God, children of God, God's own possession, which he shed his very blood for to purchase you. How dare I not obey anything that he tells me to do concerning his children? Does that make sense? Whenever I tell you something that you're not in full agreement with, consider the hurt of where it's coming from. And consider the status of the person who's saying it to you. Think it through. Think it through. Prayerfully. Carefully. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Those last seven words of that verse there is, which he obtained with his own blood, that ought to straighten every, if you're a real pastor, that ought to straighten you out. That ought to straighten you like, Lord God Almighty, show me how to pastor your people. Because if you did all that for them and then you dare entrust them to me, oh Lord, instead of walking around with great status, I'm the bishop. Recognize, Lord, I better not make a mistake. Because James 3 and 1 lets me know I receive the greater condemnation if I mess up. Hallelujah. Don't you rush to be up in this pulpit. That's why I don't nobody come up in here. Lord, loud April Lou is about the only one. That's it. This ain't no place up here to be statusing. That's not even a word. But it is today though. It's time to be up here trembling, praying before God. I came in, I asked April and Mr. Arden, they went back immediately, they was in praise and worship. They went out immediately and prayed, and Ms. Sister Lana joined them, and then she came back in and prayed for me again. Yep, pray for me. So that I get this thing right before watching God, who's carefully scrutinizing, Ms. Palmer, my every move, my every motive, an intent concerning the governance of his people. Whose people? His people, which he purchased with his own blood and clearly let me know that. Boy, you better not mess up. I don't care how frustrated you get, how crooked or cross-eyed you're looking at folks. Yeah, I want y'all to grow faster. Yep, some I'm disappointed that some of you aren't where you should be after all these years. But I better be careful in the handling of the sheep of God. Because at best, all I am is an under shepherd who has to report to the chief shepherd who shed his personal blood for you, his sheep. You don't belong to me. You belong to him. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. Key phrase. as those who will have to give an account, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Did I write that verse? Are you reading this verse? Are you not reading it in the Bible? It's not something I cooked up or any pastor cooked up. That's what the Holy Spirit said through the writer of Hebrews. This is a command from God concerning his pastors. It says, obey them, your leaders, submit to them. It used the word obey. Obey is pitho, P-E-I-T-H-O. That word is a verb. It's in the present imperative, meaning you're to obey, keep on obeying. An imperative is given a command. But this word, man, obey may not mean what you think it means in the sense of our 21st century understanding of obey. Obey means to approve of, to endorse, to consent to authority, to rely on, to depend on, to trust in, to have confidence in, with inward certainty. That's what you have to ask yourself. Do I believe that God has set this pastor here over this church to the point that I approve of it, endorse it, consent to the authority that's placed here? Do I depend on for information and leadership and guidance? Do I trust in and have confidence with inward uncertainty with this leader? That's a question you have to ask yourself. That's why you have to wisely pick your church.
Yes, sir.
Let the Lord lead you.
Yes,
because if you don't have confidence in me and you don't endorse the authority that God has given me, then why are you here?
Yes, sir. Lacking knowledge. Yes, sir.
Because we're not just here as a puppet. We're here to guide. I have to guide you and lead you. That word obey was a different word as I broke it. I'm like, whoa, that's a little different than what I thought obey mean. I'm just, okay, do this, do this. No, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you confide in me? Can you confide? Do you endorse what God has done in me and who I am through what God has done? Not just me for me. And do you have it with inward certainty? Mr. Lance, he calls me, and when he calls me, he had a whole spiel before he would begin his conversation. He would go, Pastor Gregory T. Harris, my spiritual advisor. That was a whole sentence before he gets started. But one thing he's done for 20 years, 20 going on 21 years, to let me know that I am his spiritual advisor. That's biblical. Am I your spiritual advisor? I'm real talking. Some of you I am, some of them I'm not. You think I am, but I'm not. Because if I advise you spiritually from God's word, you don't agree with it. You walk away from it. Maybe you don't know it. Let the Lord hear. Believe that the Lord is speaking through me right now to you. And I want everyone in this room to examine themselves. Am I your spiritual advisor? Do you approve of what God has done in me? Do you endorse this? Do you consent to the authority that God has placed on me? Do you rely on my advice? Do you feel you have trust in and have confidence in it with inward certainty? Man, it's no joke being a pastor. My mother told me of a friend who she was having trouble with her husband. She believed he was slipping over into homosexuality. I mean, she was all messed up. Mother told him, well, go talk to your pastor. She said, I can't talk to him. He going with Sister So-and-so in row number 4 of the church. I can't go with, there was no confidence. She didn't approve of, she couldn't endorse him. Then why was she there? You can't have any confidence in that. I've never forgotten that conversation. My mother told me that conversation probably 50 years ago. And I thought, how sad that she said with settled finality, him? No, I can't go to him, my own pastor, who is to pay careful attention to me and to care for me. Obey your leaders, trust in them. Then it says, and submit. That's present imperative again. Gotta keep on submitting to them, which means to yield to authority. Listen, and admonition. Not just my authority, but admonition means warnings, reprimands, and rebukes that comes with part of being in authority. What good am I to you if all I do is just give you sunny day reports? What good is that when I see rainy days and storms and I'm not telling you the bad that you need to hear or that where you're off course? He not only says submit to the authority, but submit to the rebuke and the reprimands, believing that it is from God. But it's got to come from understanding that I'm here by God. Go back again. That's why the order of the verses were just that. In Acts 20, 28, over which the Holy Spirit has made me the overseer. And then obey means, so you endorse this, you approve of this, and you trust and have confidence in this. So when you do, you can submit to that. Because I know what he's going to tell me. It's going to be good. Because I believe he's of God. Obey your leaders, submit to them, endorse your leaders, approve of them, trust in them, submit to them, their authority, their admonition, their warnings. Why? To them. Why? Because we represent God. That's the key. Submit to Greg because I'm just Greg and I'm ego tripping, power tripping. No, because I represent God. Every real, genuine, true pastor has been placed in the pulpit by God and then as a representation of God. Sound like the same song again. It's all about God. All about you. Hope you can hear that. If you can't hear it, you're saying, well, he just ego tripping, he just this and the other. You're missing the point. The Holy Spirit has made me an overseer, and he's given, this is God-given authority. Remember, this is a command to the church, right? He's talking to the church. Obey your leaders, submit to them. And he says, because they're, why? Obey them and lead them because that they may have the big head and be ego tripping. No, because we are keeping watch over you. It's nothing to do about me. Obey them and submit to them because they're looking out for you. It's all selfless. Selfless, not selfish. And that's something what the Holy Spirit says. You do this because they're looking out for you. For they are keeping watch over your souls. That's why you do that. I'm looking out for you. Some of you won't get it until the Lord reveals it, how much I love you. And I'm not talking about no doggone emotion. I'm talking about real love. I'm talking about God's love. Meaning what? I want your highest good that God has for you. And when you butcher that, I hurt badly, deeply. Up last night for a minute, just groaning and praying over folks at Word of Life. I just told you that. But you don't know how often that happens. Because the Lord keeps me in touch with you, even things that I may not know in the natural, he'll share it in the spirit. Amen. That's what a real, genuine, true, bona fide, Holy Ghost placed overseer does. Pastor Paul said, I've been beaten and stoned and this and that. Then he said, plus daily comes the cares of the churches.
all that beating and all them stoning.
But yet and still, what probably got him the deepest was the church. Because we love so real, so deeply.
He's not saying just submit and obey. Just to submit and obey. No, because that's the dude looking out for you. I remember my wife is really teaching and encouraging and counseling and advising, particularly women, wives, to invest in their husbands. Love on them and honor them, Ephesians 5:33, and reverence them. When you do that, you're investing in them and you want a return on your giving. Because when you bless them like that, they're going to hook you up. Spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Careful now. Absolutely. We'll make an investment in the pastor. Amen. Understand what we are doing. Realize that this didn't come out of the blue. This is written before the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
That our job, if you will, our duty, our assignment is to watch out for the flock.
He says, for they keep watch over your soul. That word keep watch, keeping watch. It's present meaning what? Ongoing. Active mean I'm doing it. Imperative or indicative rather. It's indicative meaning it's a fact. It's a fact that pastors are to constantly watch out for the flock of which he's made us an overseer. See how those two verses connect? The word keeping watch, it means to be sleepless, to keep awake for the purpose of watching. It's not wakefulness, to stay awake for the sake of being awake. It's staying awake so that you can continue to watch for the sheep. What it implies is that a pastor is constantly, consistently, and continually watching out for the sheep. It means to be alert. To be on the lookout. And then to make an effort to learn of what might be a potential threat, present or future, to the flock. That's what all this was in the summer. All of George Floyd and the pandemic. Because I saw from the Holy Spirit potential threats all over the place, present and future. And I am to hear the Lord, and he tells me these are threats, and this is how I want you to address it. I wonder how many of you really believe and think it through that God has placed me here. You say, why you ask that? Of course we do. I'm asking that because if you believe that God has placed me here, number one. Number two, do you believe that I hear from God? And if you believe that I hear from God, then do you believe that these sermons that are coming through me are not coming from me? And if you believe that, then you need to take the sermons as from God through Greg, not from Greg. But real talk, there's some who still think sort of in the back of your mind they're kind of coming from me. All I can do is keep doing what God has told me to do and hope the light comes on. This is not of mine. I'm like the Lord Jesus Christ. I can of mine own self do nothing. I'm like the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from him, I can do nothing.
Hallelujah.
I know what side my bread is buttered. And they used to say out in the streets. I know what side my bread is buttered. Are you kidding me? I know where the bread came from to be butter. The knife and the butter itself all comes from God.
That's right. Amen.
I can of my own self do nothing. Those who are receiving this ministry and receiving the things that God has done, it is God's word that has caused you to grow.
And go, those who are slow in their transformation, it's God. It's a lack of God's word, and that's why you haven't grown. I know the power of God. Chris and Glennon were divorced almost 3 years, living in separate homes with separate people, or had moved on to somebody else. Their family was as scattered as a car, pieces of a car after a wreck, just scattered all over the highway. As I tell the testimony once again for the 128th time, he comes down the basement out of all of the Sundays and all of the potential subjects you can be talking about. Yeah. There are thousands of subjects in the Word of God and nuances off of that. And out of that, we're teaching on divorce and remarriage. Wow. Out of all the subjects. Tell me that Greg is going to get that one. Hallelujah. Yeah. I couldn't have guessed that right if I tried in a million years.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. I know the power of God's word. I'm begging you to get into that power and let it do what it do.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Man, when I wasn't supposed to even be in the pulpit, God still honored his word. I was out of the will of God. I was not supposed to be a pastor. Tell you how powerful the word is. I was not supposed to be a pastor at that time. I was not supposed to be in a pulpit. I had not been placed by the Holy Spirit, had not made me an overseer. Do you hear that? Not in the will of God, not made an overseer. But I taught on 1 Corinthians 13 and Ephesians 5 concerning husband and wives. God used this disobedient, out of his will, vessel who taught his word, though. Told you to tell you what the power is in the word. And he used it to take a young man who was addicted to crack cocaine. This is in our old church on Annapolis, wherever Annapolis is. Chris went to that church. Sure did. Back in the day.
Oh, yes, sir.
On Annapolis. He wasn't there when I was pastoring, but he knows the building is. Took a young man off of crack cocaine. He was addicted to crack cocaine. I just taught the word. Glory be to God for the power in the word. Mm-hmm. He took that man off of crack cocaine without no rehab, without any rehab, and no withdrawal symptoms. Put him back with his wife. And he was a drummer for our church. That's what the word does. Amen. He took a wife who was crooked, cross-eyed, and crazy. This is another couple. And she began to change, just teaching the word. The husband, who was not a churchgoer, said, I got to go and see what's up in this church because my wife is a changed woman. I'm out of the will of God. When I'm teaching the word, he honors his word. He watches over his
word
to perform, my sister. This dude said, and he showed up in the church. Because he saw the change in his wife. I know the power of God's word. I'm asking you, do you know it? Do you understand it?
Yes,
there are some of them who don't. Real talk. Because if you would, you would value it. That's why the title is Developing a Lifestyle of Getting the Word. And the subtitle is Developing an Intense Desire for the Word. Because we don't have it. Because you don't understand the word. Some of you don't. We still don't have it. That's why the Lord's going through this. But do you trust me? Do you really trust me in something that God? You believe that the Holy Spirit has made me an overseer? Or did just something I just kind of cooked up myself? Do you believe that I pay attention to you? Do you believe that I really work to keep watch over you? Do you trust in me? Do you trust me as I follow the Lord? He said, we keep watch over you. I'm looking and learning that I can, in case that I may locate what might be a potential threat. whether it's present right now in the future. And what am I keeping watch over? Notice it says, your souls, the real you. The soul that you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, the real you, your inward, the real you. I'm keeping watch over the real you, over you, not your body. I'm watching out for you, for your protection. That's what an overseer does. That's why I get so exercised. Snotting and spitting and slobbing with so much emotion, because when pastors don't do that, the sheep are messed up.
Yes, sir.
Chris was trying to find some hope in the word. Yes, and these knuckleheads giving him garbage. Garbage! It's God who directed him in the word of life by his grace and mercy. But I weep for those who do not find the truth. It's super sad. I'm so thankful that he led him here where the word is being taught.
Thank you, Lord.
And he brought his wife together, back together. Hallelujah. Woo-wee! Hallelujah. 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 All praise be to God Almighty. All praise to God Almighty. Man, I was as lost as anybody. I was as confused as anyone. Viewing pornography for years. Bankruptcy. The car lied to get repossessed. Extreme loneliness, sadness, and depression. That was my life. I can of mine own self do nothing. I am nothing, and I can do nothing apart from him. That's not just lip service. I know that. If it was up to me, I'd have never would have married the greatest wife of all time. Period. I'm so stupid. Looking at age, she 10 years old. What that? I'm an eternal God. I don't care nothing about that. I'm an everlasting God. If I say you're supposed to be with her, you're supposed to be with her. Now get your raggedy, packety self over to Captain Nemo's and let's get this party started. See, y'all ain't no God speak hood. See, you ain't know that. He speak hood, fella. He is so merciful. Michael Andrew took over the baby sis. Let's get this party started. Stupid. He's so merciful. Side journey. That's why Sister Melania keep reminding us, we owe mercy to everybody. Everybody. Because God has been so merciful to us.
Yes, sir.
We owe mercy. We owe love. Because he's been so merciful to us. We owe it. How dare we not give it? How dare we? Obey us, submit to us, we're watching out for you. Looking for dangers ahead of time. You watch over your souls, the real you. Then he continues the command. You obey, submit, be watch over your souls, and said you to do this as those who will have to give an account. Who are we giving an account to? The Lord Jesus, the chief shepherd. I got a report. The word account means to give a report and to give an answer or an explanation regarding my care of you. Is that not serious? I got to report to Jesus and stand before him?
Greg, you know I know everything about you. Even though the people may think you was grade A, I got a low C on that.
Wow.
Because he sees everything. I got to give an account. I got to stand before God and give answers and explanations. See, what had happened was, no, I'm not mad. I got to give an account.
I still don't know the gravity of that. Don't understand it. It's deep.
I got to stand before the chief shepherd over whose his sheep he's entrusted to me and explain and give an answer to him of how I took care of them and then how they responded to my care.
And then he commands you all, lastly, let them, the pastors, do this, give an account to the Lord Jesus, the chief shepherd, with joy and not with groaning. This is addressed to God's people. Let me give that account with joy and not with groaning. Here's a comment from the commentator. In other words, it is a responsibility of the church to help their leaders rule with joy and satisfaction. They go the investment that you're talking about. One way of doing this is through willing submission to their authority, which I've been fought at times throughout the 20 years. Folk have left because they didn't want to submit to authority. And it is a groaning when they do that. I'm never asking to do anything ungodly, unbiblical, or unreasonable. As we say with the dean of students, when we're trying to talk to the students, he said the teacher made a reasonable request. I'm making a reasonable and godly request. Folk get mad and they leave. They literally have left because they didn't want to. But when you willingly submit to the authority, the joy, the commentator goes on, the joy of our leaders in the Lord should be a motivation for submission. We are not to submit begrudgingly or out of feeling of compulsion, but willingly so that our elders and pastors may experience joy in their work with us. That's why some of you bring me great joy. Great joy. Because you just submitted. As unto the Lord. Remember, we talked about that yesterday, Mike. As unto the Lord. Those four words are crucial. Not as unto the Greg. As unto the Lord. I'm not. But see, it goes back to the obey. Do you trust me? I'm not going to steer you wrong. I will not. And even if it is a steering, it'll be for about 5 seconds because I'm going to come right back to you and say, nope, that wasn't a check, was well, take 94, not 275. Trust me. This fellow has blessed me for 20 years saying, Pastor, that mess was just for me. And she done got so where she writes down what's going to be talked about before it's talked about. Just so you can, she can show. Hey, this I know what the Lord is doing here. When you submit to the authority that God has placed upon me willingly, it's a beautiful thing. It is great joy.
Trust it, Lord.
But it takes trust. It takes trust. Do you trust me? Let them do this with joy and not with groaning. He said, for that would be of no advantage to you. The commentator says, when we do not have a loving and obedient spirit, God is displeased and our leaders are grieved. And we are. Because we love hard. I'm not going to steer you wrong. I'm confident in that. I'm not saying I can't ever steer you wrong, but you can best believe I got Holy Spirit. And you got a phone call. I mean, you got a phone or you got an email or you got text. You're going to get contacted immediately or you might get a knock on the door. Hey, strike that. This should be instead. And that's very rare that I can remember that ever happening because I'm coming from the Word of God and I try not to give no opinions. So really that, as far as I remember in 20 years, that has never happened for the most part. for the most part. First Peter 5:4 says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. The chief shepherd, 1 Peter 5:4. Because they are the chief shepherd. I understand that. I'm not the absolute authority at all. He's the authority. I am a man under authority. Look at 3 John. That's odd because there's no chapter. So 3 John verses 3 and 4. 3 John. So there's the 1 John, second epistle, a second letter he wrote, and there's a third letter that he wrote. And that third letter has just one chapter. So the 3 John chapter 3. Remember, he says, let them do this with joy. Let us present and lead with joy and not with groaning, for that will advantage to you. What brings us joy? Look at verse 3. 3 John 3. That's in the very back. Yep. 3 John 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified your truth. Tell you what did they talk about? Your truth. I want my brothers here more to get into that. Not your opinions and theories. Get into your truth. It brought great joy. As indeed you are walking in the truth. I, verse 4, have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. That's what brings me joy. When I see you growing and flowing in the things of God, flourishing in God's word, speaking God's word, living God's word, it brings no greater joy. Notice he said, not speaking the truth, but walking in the truth. I mean, you're living it out. You have a lifestyle of it. You better know it. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Again, the title. This, again, is developing a lifestyle of getting the word. We haven't even got into that yet. We're setting the table. Because I want you to understand who it is that's speaking to you. It's God through me. If the Lord God in our 20 plus year history has gone over this for the third time in that 20 years of this series of one was getting the word daily, the other one was the importance of getting the word. The first of getting the word, I think, was then the second, the importance of getting the word daily. And this one is developing a lifestyle of getting the word, subtitled developing an intense desire for the word. If you believe that, then the Lord is saying, hey, we don't have it yet. We're still not getting it. Some of us aren't. Some of us aren't. What grieves me again is still attendance. I should talk about that. Praise and worship, we have two people, so to say. Folk kind of come in afterward. But there just isn't the honor and respect for praise and worship that needs to be. We're praising and worshiping God for who he is and what he has done. Those songs are crafted on purpose to not have a funky beat because we're so soulless, we're so carnal. We're Christians, I believe. Well, we're so carnal and flesh ruled that if the beat is funky, we all up into the beat and not really focusing on the words. That's why secular music is so appealing, because it's designed to appeal to your flesh. The beat, the rhythm, it's designed that way. The songs here, these are designed to transcend that. To a transcendent God who is above all and who has done great things for us. And that he is worthy, Glenda Jean, the Queen. He is worthy, sweetie. You're right. And she'll go into a praise and a heartbeat, Glenda Jean. Hallelujah. He is worthy. I've been talking about attendance for 20 years. Getting here for praise words, same thing. That's what grieves me. Because I care for you. I know that when you don't come, more than likely, it's going to lead to a lack of you getting the word. And if you're not getting the word, then that stunts your spiritual growth. I know that. Amen. That grieves me because I care for you. What do I get out of it? I don't, nothing personal for me other than the satisfaction of rejoicing in seeing you grow. I break out with Chris and Glenda's testimony and I start tearing up because there's so much joy. He said, I rejoice greatly. And follows it up, says, I have no greater joy than to hear that you're walking in the truth. There's no greater joy. Conversely, I have no greater sadness for the most part than to hear you're not growing in the things of God. I have no greater sadness. I was talking to a person a couple of months ago. They are in ministry right now. Their parent was in ministry, so they grew up all around it. And I took a notice of some questions they were asking. And the Lord let me ask them. The Lord said, take note of those questions. I said, yeah. But they should know that. You should know that. How is it they don't know that? Grew up. Your parent is in ministry, you're in ministry. How do you not know that? One Saturday morning, the Lord woke me up at 5 a.m. for one straight hour. He just talked to me about this particular person and how to counsel them. And then when we got on the phone later that day, the counsel came across just as the 1 hour. It was just exactly same thing, emotions, the same questions, same reactions. He showed me the whole thing. And one of the things the Lord let me know, is I asked them a series of questions, and I ask you now, how often do you get the word? But I'm an over-explainer on purpose, because getting the word is too general of a term. What does that mean, get the word? We're going to get all into that. I'm just going to do some skim over first, and then we'll deep dive. How often do you listen to an expository sermon? So expository means one that's explained. That's what we do here. Where a sermon is taught, and then you meditate on that sermon and think deeply about it day and night, and then do it. How often do we do that word in life? There are 52 weeks in a year. There are 104 sermons preached every year, at least. There are some of you in here who probably have heard as little as 20 sermons out of the 104. Real talk. And there is no makeup. Like, you're going to go and get it yourself. I'm going to go and get it. You know, I missed it. I'm going to go. You just sit. You're 20. You're 12. Some will come. Haven't even heard 12 sermons out of 104 sermons. I'm just talking about heard. I know there are even less of you who meditate. When I asked the question to this particular individual who is in ministry, they said, I've never had a lifestyle of getting the word. And you grew up in a church home, in a church family, and you're in ministry too, and you've never had that? I said, I see your problem is you're starving. So you're starving. And tears flowed. I was so angry
at who are your friends, who are your counselors, your parents, why ain't nobody said he was righteous indignation? I had tears in my eyes, and he cried too. I told him, I said, man, I want to, in my tears, I said, I want to beat up your parent. They need to, you know. And he said, they're starving too. And we really cried. It was sad. Some of you in here right now, you're starving. Here he is. Here's me speaking. Been around the word. I just say here. I ain't going to all the other things for you to actually get it inside. I'm talking about just hearing. Most of you are not even hearing the word. I said there's 104 sermons preached, and some of you haven't even heard 20 sermons. I don't even talk about meditation, let alone doing. Because I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, what is going on here at this church? I know you are letting me know. I'm seeing some people here at Word of Life that have been around a minute, and they're not advanced, they're not growing. Noah spoke, said, they're not getting a word. I said, oh. Because if you are barely hearing a few sermons, how can the word change you? How can it transform you? So it goes back to, do you believe this ministry? That's why those questions I ask now. Do you believe that I'm really here by God? And if so, does God speak through me? And if God is speaking through me, do you fully understand that and you still don't get into the sermons? Something is wrong. Real talk, maybe you didn't realize it. Maybe you don't believe they're coming from God. Because the other side is not good at all. And that is, I know they're from God, but you, God, I ain't gonna listen. So I'm trying not to give you that. I'm trying to have a little mercy on you. Trying to put the best spin on it. I'm thinking you just don't know. You think you know, but you don't know. You're really saying, I guess I don't know, because I ain't really thought about it. You can't change apart from the word. You cannot change. You can't change. It's impossible. You can't think differently. You can't. Wednesdays have been, all of them rich, but some of the most richest teaching at this church. And most of the church does not get Wednesday's teaching. That God, not great. I didn't just think of something. Has spoken to us because he wants us to know that, and you don't even know it. I just said heard, because that's just the first step in beginning to eat the word. That was like the third subtitle, eating the word. That was the third one. You're just, all you're doing, you are satisfied with hearing one quarter of the sermons, you're satisfied with that and think I'm good. Let me tell you how the Lord showed how sad that is. It's like going into a restaurant or into a kitchen, smelling the food and walking out saying, wow, I'm full, I've eaten, I'm good. That's all hearing does. You're just beginning to begin to eat. You just smelled it. Because that's hearing it, define all that, receiving it, meditating it, and doing it. And until all four, because there I know of an individual who nobody in this room, because let me say this one, not nobody in this room, but this time, who hears the word every day, all day, has not changed their lives. Has not. They are one of the most miserable people that I've ever seen. That's why I said just hearing it is a beginning. It's not about even how consistent you hear it. It's meditating and doing. elements are not in there, you have not gotten the word.
Amen.
And that's why, and the Lord answered it clearly, that's why certain folks at Word of Life, they're basically the same person. They haven't gotten the word. I don't know if we think attendance is good enough. It's not good enough. It's part of you. You understand, y'all? These are pieces to the puzzle. These are pieces to the whole thing.
Right.
It's not just one thing. Yeah, he said, get your behind in here. He said that. He said that. Do we really believe then that the word of God is just that? The word of God and not the word of Greg. He said, forsake not your assembling together of the saints. As the manner of some is. And he said that when the church members were being killed and slaughtered and burned and ripped to shreds by animals out in the streets. And they knew, the church members and pastors in the house churches knew that was going on. They were getting intimidated and said, hey, I need to, I don't know if I'm going to be in that church. And even in the midst of that kind of threat, he told them, don't stop going to church. We have no threat here. We just ain't coming for whatever reason. The word of God is not a top priority. The word of God is not a top priority. And that's proven by, if you really real to yourself, how often do you hear an expository sermon every day and meditate that sermon and do that sermon? Yeah, very few. How anybody in here does that? I know it. You know. Be real with yourself. Notice I didn't, and on purpose, I didn't say, read the Bible. I didn't say that. No. That's cute. Because how much do you understand? He said, and all I getting, get understanding. So that's why I said, how many hear an not even a sermon, but an expository sermon. Where they're teaching the word. Do you realize that your mind can't be renovated unless you hear the word, receive the word, meditate the word, understand the word, and then do the word? Or other than that, Romans 12:2 can't happen. Matter of fact, you really are in sin because you can't, all you can be is conformed to this world. When he says, be not conformed to this world, that's all you can be. Because if your mind isn't being renewed by the word of God, then it's only two things. It's either conforming to the world or conforming to the word. There's the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. There is no in between. I've taught y'all that. There is no black and white. And if you feel I'm just giving you my opinion, it's only black and white. Sorry. Only black and white. There's no gray. It's black or white. It's God or it's Satan. Children of God, children of Satan. Wisdom from above, wisdom that's demonic. Those are all scriptural terms. Whenever you come to me, it's the word of God. And if I have to give some sort of thing, I say, well, the word says this. It doesn't necessarily address that exactly, but based on some other verse, I'm going to give you this. But I'm going to give you the word. And after giving a word, you come back with a yeah, but my pocket's empty. I ain't got nothing else to give. Because you yeah, but the word, I'm like, okay. It's sad to be starving in the midst of a buffet. Food, not everywhere, everywhere. That's beyond everywhere. And you're starving. Partake. You're not in a barren land. Chris is in a barren desert. Even the cactus was struggling to grow. And he sent him to a well-watered land. Food flowing everywhere. Just come on, like Jesus said, come on and partake of the waters of life freely. But notice what Jesus says, though. Whosoever will, let him come. I can't make you. And that's not my job to make you. The Holy Spirit reminded me through my wife in our prayer back there is, remember, you're the sower. And you ain't mentioned no more in that parable. All I can do is sow it. I can't make you receive it. Father God, Father God, Father God, who has appointed me as an overseer over this flock, I pray that they hear, your flock hears, have heard you today and not me. And that this teaching today and admonition and warning will make an impression, that they will allow your Holy Spirit to make this, to make an impression on their heart and soul and mind. And not just done my duty, been to church, okay, now let's go on with my life, my thinking, my way, my will, my plans, my purposes, my pursuits. As if you, Father God, Holy God, Righteous God, Merciful God, Compassionate God, Faithful God, haven't said a word. Because Father God, just as you've done, and you are that same God, yesterday, today, forever, judgment does come. There will come a time where he may say, hey, then you didn't want to hear, like he told the Jew, then you won't hear. I pray that never happens, but I can't guarantee it. There go my warning. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We honor you, Father. We revere you. You're holy. Yeah, you are loving, but you also are a God of wrath. Yeah, you are a God of patience. Yes, but you are a God of wrath. Yeah, you are a God who's merciful, but you are a God of wrath. Help us not take your kindness for weakness. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, if he sows no attendance, if he sows not getting into the word, if he sows not studying the word, if he sows not obeying the word, then he'll reap non-transformation, mediocrity, and a life that does not bring you praise, honor, and glory. But if he sows the word and he reaps and listens to and meditates and obeys the word, he will reap a harvest of righteousness and bringing you glory. Help us, Father God. We need you like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.